each week while we're going through this series, before I start the sermon proper, shall we say, we'll have the relevant section from Liz's small catechism, which will say responsively. What is the first commandment?
I am the Lord your God. Do not have any God except me.
What does this mean for us?
We should honour, love and trust in God more than anything else.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds that we may clearly hear your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yesterday, I kept all of God's commandments. Then I got up. That's not an original joke. It homes in on a problem that we have. We may think that the Ten Commandments are, these are pretty obvious. These are pretty easy things to do. But I would like to suggest, as we look at the first commandment today, that this is the hardest commandment of all. Let's just remind ourselves what Scripture says here from the Exodus version. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. We mentioned last week that as Christians, unless you have some Jewish ancestry in your blood, this starts off with a condition or a reason that doesn't apply to us. God hasn't brought you or your ancestors out of Egypt. The Exodus was for the Jewish people. We mentioned last week, Luther has the quote of, we're German, what does this have to do with us? Maybe a better way for us to read this today, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the slavery of sin. In one sense, we've all got our Egypt, haven't we? We've all got that problem with sin. We could say, because of all that our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, because of his life, death, and resurrection, you shall have no other gods before me. It's a response. It's not do this and God will do something for you. It's that God has already done so much for us. God has sent his Son. God has become one of us. He has lived. Jesus died on the cross for your sin, for mine. The Father has raised him from the dead. All this has already been done. Isn't the logical response to have no other God before you? Doesn't this sort of make sense? And if it makes sense to you, that then raises the problem of how come we have trouble with this one? In fact, when we teach the small catechism, be it to confirmation classes or to new Christians, one of the things that is often taught, and this isn't new with Luther, this goes back throughout church history, that when you follow the first commandment, you get all the others right. Think about that. When you follow, when you fully follow, properly follow the first commandment, all the others are child's play. They happen by default. The others all keep tying back. So when I steal from someone else, yes, I'm committing an offence against my neighbour, aren't I? But I'm also showing that I don't love God above all else. It always comes back to this. We mentioned last week that the law can be summed up in love God and love your neighbour. When we look at this first commandment, if we love God right, then we will be loving our neighbor. All of the commandments come back to this. This is the tough one. Loving God. And as you may have seen in the little graphic that I sent out, it's about loving God above everything else. Putting God first. It's not about saying, yep, God's important to me. So, lots of things are important to us, aren't they? But where does God fit in all of that? And as a people, as a society, we have real problems in this regard. One of our first options, and I'm only just going to touch on this. This is not meant to be a talk on apologetics. Is one of the ways we really break this command is in atheism. Atheism is quite popular these days. It's that declaration, there isn't a God out there. He doesn't exist. Never has, never will. Those of us who believe in him, we're a little dependent, whatever. I have a number of good friends who I talk with. Don't really talk face-to-face with them too much. They're not around here. They talk online with them and things. Who we get along reasonably well with each other, except they are convinced there is no God. So how does Jesus and everything else fit in there? So this is a real big breaking of this first commandment, isn't it? Now you may say, well, I'm all right then. I'm not an atheist. I believe God exists. Therefore, I follow the first commandment. Wrong. Let's think more about that. Do you know who else believes God exists? The devil. Doesn't help him too much, does it? So, I actually believe atheism is a flaw idea by saying that there is no God. What they're normally saying is that the creator God, the God of the Bible, doesn't exist. What we tend to do is, just to fill you in on what Scripture says in Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. There are several passages throughout the Psalms and throughout Proverbs basically looking at the foolishness of denying God. Romans starts off by saying, after the little intro bit, starts off by saying that people have no excuse about God because you just look around in his creation. You can see the evidence of God all around you. But what we do is create idols. By idols I mean we create our own gods. We come up with things to replace God. So even if you don't believe that the God of the Bible exists, you come up with other things to put in that place. Basically, gods are things that are really important to you that you put above other things. And we're good at creating other gods. Now you may think, this seems a little strange. When I was a kid, growing up in Queensland, when I went to school as part of our parade, we would stand out on the bitumen in the nice sun, often in bare feet. We would sing God Save the Queen. We would say the Lord's Prayer. And we would sing a hymn, something like Abide With Me or Jesus Loves Me or something like that. And we would do that every day of the week. The good old days. And in these good old days, most of white Australia would proclaim that they had no other gods before God. But is that true? Did they put God first? As I said, this is actually a really hard one. If we're honest with ourselves, We have problems with this. We make up things to put in God's place. Yes, in the Old Testament, they're often coming face to face with the literal idol worship of other nations, aren't they? Other nations were, and other peoples were literally making gods with their own hands and worshipping them. This is a problem, not only outside of Israel, but inside Israel as well. There's this great passage I like from Isaiah 44. And just before what we have up there, we've got verses 16 and 17, we'll look at it in a moment. He's talking about this man's going out. You know, he's got his axe with him. He goes out, finds a nice tree, you know, nice tree for wood, and he cuts it down. And then it looks at what he does with this wood. So it says, half of the wood he burns in the fire. Over it he prepares his meal. He roasts his meat and eats his fill. He also warms himself and says, ah, I am warm. I see the fire. From the rest, he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, save me. You are my God. I hope you can see the sarcastic humour that is going on in here. But there's that illogic of putting things in place of God. Now you may say, I don't go around chopping, well, you might go around chopping trees down, but you know, if I'm chopping them down, it's to put them in the fire on a cold morning like this morning to keep the house warm. I'm not carving idols or worshiping it. John Calvin made this famous quote, which I quite like. The human mind is, so to speak, a perpetual forge of idols. John Calvin is just after Luther in time. The Reformed Church, you may know people from a Reformed background, Calvin's to them what Luther is to us. And what he's saying here is that we as human beings have this special gift, almost. I often say in confirmation classes, we have a superpower, every one of us, in that we are really good at creating idols. We are really good at putting things where God should be. We, in fact, turn God's good gifts into our idols. We may say, look, I don't carve the wood and put it up on the shelf and pray to it each morning. But we can put other things. We can take God's good gifts, and as in that story of that idol worshipper in Isaiah, the tree is God's good gift. Supplied wood is God's gift, creation. But we can turn things such as our family, our job, our church, our country, science, technology, entertainment, sport. What are the things that really drive you? Now, I'm not saying that any of those things are wrong. But one of the great things that the evil one likes to do with us is to push those things so they just become a little too important, a little bit more important than God. God moves down the list. It's often said, and I believe this to be quite true, that when parents really love one another, the kids feel safe. They feel that they're in a secure environment. Some argue that you've got to love the kids more than your spouse. I would argue no, you've got to love your spouse. The loving relationship flows on to giving a stable relationship for the kids. To say that the kids are the most important thing actually damages. I think the same thing applies here when it comes to God. When we put God first, then our relationship with our family works properly. If we start putting our family first, then our relationship with God is not where it should be, and normally means our family relationship starts to be what it shouldn't be. Even if you don't realise it, there's a lot of people today that family is the reason they don't go to church. Family is the reason that they don't do Bible study. Family is often given as that reason. Now, I'm not saying that there are times where you do most definitely need to prioritise your family. There's things that need to be done. I'm not talking about that situation. But the problem comes is that we can start putting these things, and I'm not just picking on family, it can be sport, it can be whatever. My job's so hard that I need to sleep. We come up with reasons. And you may say, well, I don't need to go to church to worship God. And that's true. You can worship God wherever you are. But how much of worshiping God do you actually do outside of church? How often do you spend in prayer? How often do you? Now, when I look at myself, I find I have a big problem here. If I'm starting to compare how much time do I spend in prayer compared to how much time am I watching something on TV or watching something on YouTube or reading a book or do I in fact put my ministry, put my role as a pastor as being the be-all, and God becomes less than that. When we do things like condemn other people, aren't we then putting ourselves in God's places? When we are This is a tough one. We keep breaking this because if we're not putting one of these things first, the next thing we start to put first is ourselves. We start to, and don't get me wrong here, I realise that for some you may be feeling a bit depressed and I'm not trying to come down hard on you, but we focus on ourselves rather than focus on our God who has done so much for us. This is one of my big problems. I get depressed, I get in dark places. But in my dark places, I find that I am talking with God. I'm arguing with God. I'm complaining, but I'm complaining to Him. So He is still the focus. I'm not trying to suggest that any of this is easy. But how do we as Christians face this command? I would say the best place we've got to start with is the question of who is Jesus? I would argue this ties back to the first commandment. To have no other gods before Him is to answer this question correctly. That Jesus is fully God and fully man. That He is God in the flesh. That He lived, that He died, that He rose again. And that as I struggle to put God first, in that struggle I will endeavour to keep my focus on Jesus. It is Jesus and my focus on Him that will help draw me into that right relationship with God. It is through Jesus. Remember this passage from that Jesus says in John 14, 6 and 7. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." How do we love God? How do we get to know God? Through Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. We read in our Bibles of what Jesus said, of what Jesus did. And that helps. That leads us into seeing who God is and why we should put him first. Comes back to that logic that we were talking about at the beginning. It is, in fact, pretty stupid that we don't put God first in everything. Look at all he's already done. The proof is all there. Yet we still think we know what's best for ourselves. At least I do. I keep falling into that trap. I think I make the best decisions. If only God would, have you ever said that? If only God would, aren't you then putting yourself in God's place as soon as you say that? This is a tough one. And because it is a tough one, I feel sometimes we may give up. We may say, well, I'm never going to get this one right. So what's the point? What's the point in any of the commandments if I can't get this one right? Well, we mentioned that the purpose of the commandments is to be as a mirror, to show us where we've got problems and we've got big problems. If you're like me, this is the big problem area. If it comes to confession, I know I can always confess that this is the commandment I've broken, as long as I'm breathing. But we come back to Jesus. We come back to this concept of daily repentance. As I said, I break this command every single day. I could probably break it every single minute. I'm not that good at breaking this commandment. Thus, there is a real need every day to come before my Lord and Saviour, to confess my sins, to come to the foot of the cross, to hand these over and receive his forgiveness. I receive the righteousness of Christ, who kept this command. The only living human who's ever kept this command. I get his righteousness and he gets my sin. And then I get up and through the Holy Spirit aim to be God's person in my home, in my work, wherever I may be. And the next day, the same thing. We need to keep coming back because we know we struggle here. We want the Holy Spirit to work on us, to help us to not keep putting other things in God's place. And I truly believe that the Holy Spirit will help you in these areas bit by bit. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He won't do it all at once because that would wreck you. It would wreck me terribly. But he helps me to get a bit. But one of the things I've experienced, I've been a Christian all my life. I'm in my 60s now. I keep seeing more and more ways that I mess up in this. So how is it getting better? Well, I think they're joined together. As he is working at areas and making you, there might be this thing that you're putting in God's place. He deals maybe with that situation, and as you've seen him deal with that situation, you suddenly see all these other things that need work. I think as God works in you to make you more like Jesus, your eyes open to all the other areas that you're not. That's why you see that Paul points out that he's the greatest sinner. Where Luther, even on his deathbed, proclaims himself to be a sinner. because we see ourselves through God's eyes, and that's exactly what we're looking for. But though we are sinners, we are saved through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not giving you a challenge at the end of this sermon to say, go out there and have no other gods before you. Yes, you need to do that. Don't get me wrong. That is the commandment, isn't it? But I'm also a realist in knowing that I fail. And I'm going to just assume you guys fail also in this area. But the good news is that Jesus has kept this commandment. Jesus has died for this sin. Jesus is who we can keep coming to in our daily repentance. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We now have our next song, and during this, your free will offering will be collected.